Amen. Let's just pray this morning. Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, this morning that as we come around your word, that you'd speak to our hearts, that we'd be open to hear from you, Lord God, and that we can receive your truth to our hearts and let it affect our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look this morning at spiritual growth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." When you and I got saved, when we were born again, we were born as spiritual babes into God's kingdom. We weren't born as mature spiritual adults, were we? And just as in the physical, we're born as a baby, so it is in the spiritual. We're not born already mature. But God's desire for each believer's life is that they'd reach maturity, that they'd spiritually grow, that they'd reach full stature, as it describes it in the Bible, in Christ. That they grow and mature spiritually and ultimately become spiritual fathers, as the Bible terms it. And the reality is we can't stand still in our lives as Christians. We need to grow and we need to mature. Scripture in many places exhorts us to grow. It tells us in another scripture, as babes, to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It speaks about a process of maturity from being a child to being a young man to being a spiritual father in Christ. And here in this scripture in Peter, it tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Christian life should be a life of growth, a life of change. God wants to bring all of us this morning to a full knowledge of himself, where we would know God, where we would be in a full relationship with him, where we'd be no longer carnally minded, but we'd have the mind of Christ, where we'd no longer think, act, and walk carnally, but where we would be spiritually minded and where we could grow into that full stature in Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Some grow faster than others, but the important thing is that we grow. Wouldn't it be horrific as parents if our children stopped growing at, say, age 3? Or if they were still using a dummy at the age of 10. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who are like that. Christians with stunted growth, no longer changing, no longer responding to God, no longer allowing God to intervene and change their lives. But Scripture exhorts us to grow in grace. We've been saved this morning by God's grace, but we are to continue in that grace and grow in that grace. What is grace? It's God's undeserved favour. It's his unmerited kindness towards us. And if we're to reach full maturity as a Christian, we need to continue in that grace by which we were saved. We need to live in it daily. We are to be partakers of God's grace. And God has ordained for you and I the means by which we can partake of his grace. We can't earn God's grace this morning, but if we're going to partake of it, then we need to be involved in the things that God's ordained for us in order to receive his grace. One of the most important means of grace, of course, is prayer and communion with God. As we pray in accordance with God's will, we receive of his grace. And it says in Scripture, if we don't ask, we won't receive. We do have a part to play in this morning. And when we're daily experiencing the grace of God, we should grow spiritually. We'll bear the fruit of the Spirit and see our lives change. We need that fresh touch from God each day, don't we? Because without it, we just stagnate. We don't grow, or we wither, as it says in the Bible. We wither and die on the vine. One of the hindrances to spiritual growth can be fear and legalism. And just being religious, this stifles and chokes our spiritual life. We won't grow if we're in bondage to fear. and condemnation or by legalism and unbelief. We need God's grace if we're going to change. Legalism does not produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but God's grace does. The part that we have to play is to allow God's Spirit to have his way in our life, to submit to him and to cooperate with him and to step out in obedience. Now, the Galatian church was a church that had fallen from the grace of God, it says, into legalism. It says they had fallen from grace, and as a result of it, they'd gone back into bondage. Their growth was stifled. And in Galatians 4 and chapter verse 19, Paul said that he laboured in birth again until Christ was formed in them. In other words, he was saying that he had to start all over again with them. Because Christ can only be formed in us through grace. Legalism does not produce a Christ-like character. God's purpose for the believer's life and for the church is that we'd reflect the glory and image of Christ, that we'd be Christ-like, and to be Christ-like, we need to grow and mature, don't we? And God's purpose for our lives is to spiritually mature. We're not to remain as babes for the rest of our lives. We are to go on, we are to grow and mature and to become more Christ-like in our lives. It's a daily process of sanctification, of dying to self, of living unto God. And if you're going to grow as a Christian, you're going to need to be willing to change, to lay down our lives, to submit ourselves to God. God's power is only realised in a life which is fully submitted to him. God can only work in a life which is fully submitted to his will. We're called to live a crucified life. We're called to pick up the cross daily. We need to die to self daily. We have to be put into death, that old nature that rises up. Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." He lived the crucified life. And that is how we grow as Christians, by dying to self. In the scripture, it speaks about a seed having to fall to the ground and die. And unless it falls to the ground and die, it can bear no fruit. Now, Christ, when he said this, was talking about his death on the cross. But this also applies to our lives as believers, because unless you and I die, we can bear no fruit. We can't sprout up and grow. We won't blossom. We won't flourish whilst I, me, myself is still on the throne of our lives. No fruit can be born until we die to the old life, to the old nature, to the selfishness and sin that is inbred in us. And it's often a painful process for us, isn't it? It's not always easy. It's a struggle. Nobody likes dying. Picking up the cross and denying self can be painful. The flesh wars against us, doesn't it? But if we bow the knee and we submit our will to God, then God can do that work in our lives and change us. A legalistic life, or just an outwardly religious life, doesn't change. And it justifies itself through its own good deeds, its own good works, and its own so-called righteousness. But there's no real change on the inside. There's no real spiritual growth. It's just an outward show. And if you look at any Christian who's remained immature, you'll find a Christian who hasn't changed. You'll find someone who doesn't want to change, someone who doesn't want to let go of self. Just like a young child, just like a baby, children can be very self-centered, can't they? Children often are only thinking about their own needs. They want everything to revolve around them. They always want their own way. They don't always think of others as a consequence of their actions. By nature, they can be selfish. But yet, so many Christians who are full-grown adults can be just the same. Still carnal, still wanting just their needs met, still thinking everything revolves around them. Self still ruling in their hearts and lives. But if we're going to mature as Christians, if we're going to go on as Christians, we need to put to death that selfish nature. We need to let Christ be on the throne of our heart and our lives. We need to let God be Lord. Turn away from that sin and selfishness and get in our own way all the time and be willing to go to the cross, be willing to die to self. Then we can see Christ formed in us. Another hindrance to spiritual growth is fear and condemnation. There's nothing more destructive and sapping to the spiritual life than fear and condemnation. It can stifle and choke the grace of God in our lives. If we live in constant fear and guilt, it comes from a misunderstanding of who God is. It hinders our growth as Christians. If we just go around feeling a failure all the time and depressed, it chokes out the life of God. We're always getting the whip of chastisement on ourselves, but we need to grow in grace. God doesn't want us to be bound by fear or bondage. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. God wants us to be living in his grace and in his love. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Perfect love casts out fear. It's love that makes us grow into perfection. It's love that makes us become more Christ-like, not fear. Fear just brings us into bondage. That doesn't mean we shouldn't fear God, by the way. That's having a reverence for who God is. But it's the love of God that changes us. God does discipline us as his children. He does chastise us. He does correct us. But he does it out of love for us, not to make us cower with a guilty fear and condemnation with no hope. His love leads us to repentance, which should bring freedom from fear and condemnation. His love gives us a way out, whereas condemnation gives us no way out. We feel trapped. But God leads us into freedom, doesn't he, and into forgiveness. He does convict us, but not to condemn us, but to correct us. In our scripture that we read at the start in Peter, it says to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as well. We're called to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, when we speak about knowledge, we don't mean just head knowledge. Head knowledge can be useful, but without that heart relationship with God, it's of little value. It can just puff us up with pride. It's good to study. It's good to gain knowledge of the scriptures. It's good to know the Hebrew and the Greek, but that's not the kind of knowledge that will bring spiritual maturity. True knowledge that brings spiritual maturity is the knowledge of God, knowing God, having a heart relationship with God, and that comes through putting into practice the Word of God by exercising it in our lives. And as we apply the Word of God to our lives, and don't just hear the Word of God, but do the Word of God, then we will mature. Then we'll be able to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. Then we grow. See, having head knowledge doesn't bring about spiritual maturity. But God wants us to come to a knowledge of himself. In the scripture it speaks about spiritual fathers that know him who is from the beginning. They know him. They have a living relationship with the living God. God wants us to grow into that relationship with him, which is really what the crux of it is all about, to know him more and more, to know his heart, to know his thoughts, that as we do the will of God, so we grow in the knowledge of God. Jesus said that many will come to him on that day and say, did we not do this and that and all these wonderful things in your name? And he says to them, I never knew you. He said, those who know God are those that do his will. See, we're called to obedience. Unless we put into practice the word of God in our lives, we won't get to know God or be known by God. Our knowledge of God will just be a head knowledge. But what we need is a real experiential knowledge of God, which comes through obeying him and doing his will and following his word, listening and obeying the voice of his Spirit. God wants us to know him. You know, in a marriage, you know, you can know your wife's date of birth, you can know her qualifications, you might know how many pairs of shoes she has, but that doesn't equate to knowing her, does it? And it's not enough just to know about God. There's a lot of people who know about God. They can quote you chapter and verse. A lot of religious people know about God. They know the scriptures probably better than most Christians. But knowing him is a very different thing to knowing about him. Just like in a marriage, there's an intimate relationship between a husband and wife. There's a sharing of hearts, minds and thoughts. There's a union. So it is with God. God wants us to have a heart relationship with him, that we'd share our heart with him, and as we walk in obedience to him and submission to him, he reveals himself to us. We get to know his heart, his thoughts, there's a relationship where that and it's in that that we're to grow till we come to a perfect knowledge of him, which ultimately will be in heaven, won't it, when we see him face to face. But in this life we can know God. We are growing in perfection. We are growing in the knowledge of God. Thirdly, this morning, we have to have a desire to grow. There's something about the Christian life that we do have to press in. We have to make a concerted effort to lay hold of God. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There is a pressing in the kingdom of God. We have to seek after God. We have to hunger after God. We have to thirst for God. We have to be persistent in prayer. These are all words that the scripture uses. To seek, to ask, to knock, to persevere, to be persistent, to hunger, to thirst, to press in, to lay hold of. God wants people with hungry hearts. God wants people who will seek him with the whole heart. If we want to experience God's grace in our lives, we have to seek for it. Being complacent, being lukewarm, is a hindrance to spiritual growth. We'll never grow if we're lazy Christians. It's so easy just to become complacent in the Christian life, to go through the motions, to kick back. And, you know, with all the pressures that our lives are under in today's crazy world, it's very easy to become weary in doing good. We can begin to withdraw ourselves from God and from others. We're no longer as earnest and zealous as we once were. We no longer seek God as much as we once did. No longer hunger and thirst like we once did. We're no longer pressing in or receiving as we once did. We're no longer growing at the rate that we once did. But we have to overcome that. We have to press in. It's a battle that we're involved in. We're in a warfare. We have to fight. The Bible says, doesn't it, fight the good fight of faith. If we don't fight, we end up dying. We wither. We have to fight. We have to press in. We have to seek. And as we do, God will move in our lives. He'll intervene in our circumstances. He'll change us. He'll increase us in our spiritual lives. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied. He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. The lesson in that is to be persistent in prayer, to ask, to seek, to knock, to press in. Men ought always to pray and not to quit. Fourthly, this morning, we're called to grow, not just as individuals, but as a body, as a church. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Here God lays out in this scripture that he's given to the church gift ministries that are there to equip God's people, and the purpose of these ministries is to edify the body so that we can all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, that we'd all grow, as it says, into that perfect man in the fullness of Christ, not just as individuals but as a body, that we'd all come to the unity of the faith and reach full stature, come to that knowledge of God, so that Christ would be formed in us. And that we should no longer, it says, be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of winds of doctrine around in the Christian life. But we need the word of God to keep us on the right track. We should no longer remain as children. We should move on and mature and become spiritual adults. And as we grow and mature, as we exercise ourselves in the Word of God, as we feed on God's Word, we should become more and more discerning between truth and error, between what's false doctrine and what's true doctrine. Spiritual maturity will stop us from being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The reason why a lot of Christians end up getting deceived or caught up in false teaching is because they've never matured spiritually. They've never had their spiritual senses exercised by the Word of God. They're untrained and unskilled in the Word of truth. They can't discern the true from the false. They're still carnal. They've not allowed God to work in their lives and change them. They haven't followed His Word. Spiritual maturity should lead to spiritual discernment. And it also says that as we serve each other, as we minister to each other through whatever gift or grace that God's given to us, and it says in that scripture, as each part does its share, we all have a part to play in the church. To do it, all of us have a share in ministering to one another. Every part should do its share. We all have a part to play in the body, as every joint supplies, ministering to one another and for the edifying of the body in love. And that overall will cause growth of the body, it says. Growth, maturity, and that's God's purpose for His church, that we would grow, that we would mature, that we'd become Christ-like, that we'd reach that full stature. And it comes through obeying God. It comes through serving one another, through ministering to one another, and using the gifts and the talents that God's given to us to edify the body. It's not just an individual thing this morning, spiritual maturity. But we should desire it as a body, as a church, corporately, to grow together in the unity of the faith. The church in Corinth was a church that hadn't grown or matured spiritually. It was a church chaotic, full of immature baby Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" What Paul is saying here is that these believers in Corinth were still spiritual babies. They were still immature. Amongst them was envy and strife and divisions and factions. And Paul was saying, this proves to me that you're not spiritual, that you're still babes, that you still need to grow up. You know, if you ever observe children in a playground, how they fight amongst themselves. One gets a toy and the other one always wants it and tries to grab it and start crying and tantruming and pulling and tugging at the toy till it breaks. And you have to come in and say, stop this, stop that, learn to share. Sometimes give them a clip round the ear hole. You know, but yet, grown adults can be just as bad. And even worse and more shameful is when it happens in the church. There's two ways that growth can be hindered in a church. One is legalism and the other is carnality. And just like here at Corinth, they were fighting amongst themselves. There was no order in the church. It was chaos. They were carnal. But God wants us as His people to be a spiritual people who walk in the Spirit, who obey, who are submitted to Him, who are dead to sin and the old life, who walk in the grace of God daily, who are growing spiritually in holiness and righteousness, pursuing godliness. Then we'll become more Christ-like and reflect His image and glory in our lives. Let's just turn quickly to 1 John, because that describes very clearly those stages of spiritual maturity. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning." I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Here we see the stages of spiritual maturity. We start off as little children with our sins forgiven for his name's sake. This is when we enter the kingdom of God. We enter as little children. All we know is that God has forgiven us and that we're saved and we're thankful. But you know, there's still a lot of change that God wants to do in our lives. He says, I write to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. Here's the ultimate stage in spiritual maturity, knowing him who is from the beginning, having that living knowledge of the living God, being in intimate fellowship with God, knowing him, walking as he walks, doing as he does, living to please him, knowing what pleases the Father and obeying him and submitted fully to his will. And in between this, we have the young men, those that have begun to mature. They've overcome the wicked one. The word of God abides in them. They're strong because the word of God abides in them. They've overcome because they're abiding in Christ. They're strong in his word. His word lives in them. They're living in the spirit and overcoming the flesh and maturing. God wants to bring us to that place where we know him. That's the place we're to press towards, that we would know more and more of God. That's what the Christian life is about. It's not about how many good deeds you do or how often you attend church or witness to folks, although all those things are good. But it's ultimately about knowing God. It's about becoming Christ-like. It's about knowing the one who made us and formed us in our mother's womb. It's about knowing the Creator God who formed the universe, who created life. It's about knowing Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And we're a privileged people this morning that we can know God. The big question is, do we want to? Are we willing to let him change us so that we can know him more and more? Are we willing to let go of the old life? Are we willing to die to that selfish nature? Are we willing to put on the new life? Are we willing to seek him? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to press in? Are we willing to obey him? Are we willing to do his will and surrender to him? Because only then we can grow. Only then we can become like Christ. God wants to form in us the image of his Son. John 1 2 and 3 sums up where God wants to take us to. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. This is how we know that we know God, that we keep his commandments, that we obey him, that we're submitted to him, that we do those things that please him. That's what the knowledge of God is actually about. It comes through doing the will of God. It comes through obeying him. It says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That's spiritual maturity. The love of God is perfected. In other words, we come to the fullness of Christ if we keep his word. Do we keep his word? Or have we either become legalistic or carnal? Two ends of the same spectrum. Neither are right. God wants a people who are balanced spiritual people, who walk in the grace of God, who obey him and are submitted to him. Then we can be the people that will grow. Amen. Let's pray this morning.